Amen. So let's read, starting 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18. It says this: Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that we should follow his steps. Who committeth no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. And we'll stop right there. It is a strange passage in some sense, because there are not servants and people are not being beaten in our culture, but the lessons still apply, even if that, thank God, is not part of our culture. The lessons that do apply are also so not of our culture, because this certainly speaks and tells us that if something is being done wrong to us, that and we're being treated harshly, we should not be the ones that are fighting right back in that. That is so absolutely not our culture. But yet here it is in the Word of God. Our culture does not dictate our faith. Our faith is dictated by the Word of God. And this is what the Word of God tells us. We live in a society where our rights are so prominent. That's not fair, is a cry that is heard all around our culture. Now, I'm certainly not an advocate, and certainly not saying that if somebody is being abused, if somebody is being harmed, that they should just take that. Please do not hear that. That did happen to Jesus. I don't believe God wants us to sit in those kinds of situations. But he does say, even to the harsh, we are to be submissive. And not only does he say that, he says it is commendable. It is commendable to God. Think of that. It is commendable to God. And commendable, you could synonyms for commendable is it's admirable to God. It's praiseworthy to God. It's honorable to God. So in our culture, it might be considered weak. It might be considered foolish. You might even be considered dumb for doing this. But to God, in his economy, in his way of thinking, you're praiseworthy. You're honorable. If you can do this, if you can do what the Bible says, God is looking at you in a completely different light than what man is looking at you. It says if we do this, especially because our conscience is toward God. What this means is if we're thinking about God's way, if we're thinking about how God does things, about how God wants things done in our lives, if we act on those things as opposed to what our natural instincts, maybe our flesh would respond. Our flesh would respond in ways that are very different than the Bible tells us. And the Bible says if we're going to respond and make a conscious choice, that's what this is really talking about. We're making a conscious choice to follow what the Bible says as opposed to what our natural instincts are. Our natural instincts might be to strike back. Our natural instincts might be to have an answer for everything. Our natural instincts would tell us, fight for your rights. And if our conscience towards God says, God, you will take care of this, regardless of how unfair it is, then the Bible says, God looks at you and says, you're an honorable person. You're an admirable person. You are a person like Jesus. Because that is exactly what happened to Jesus. We are to be like Christ, and sometimes it's not so nice to be like Christ because of the things that might happen to us. But those exact things happened to Jesus. It says, because of conscience towards God, we might be treated not so nicely. This could happen in many, many different ways. Maybe sometimes you have to make a conscious decision not to fit in with the guys because the guys are not behaving Christ-like. You have to make a conscious decision not to gossip when everyone around you is gossiping. You have to make a conscious decision. If you're in school, sometimes you have to make a conscious decision not to receive teaching that is not biblical, that is strictly against the biblical principles and biblical teachings. You have to make conscious decisions when friends are doing things that are immoral, not right, leading, even if they might not be immoral in certain cases, they lead down paths to immorality. They might not be good. Friends might go out drinking. Friends might do things. And you have to make a conscious choice not to be part of it. And maybe you will suffer some ridicule for that. Maybe you will be treated harshly. Maybe they will start backing away from you. Maybe they will start shunning you. If you're conscious towards God, you want to act the way God wants you to act. If you suffer because of that, God says you're honorable. You're commendable. You are worthy of praise when you do those things. It's just like not only the life of Jesus, but certainly his life was like that. Men lied about him. Men beat him. Men did all kinds of false accusations against him. And what does the Bible say he did? It says he took it as the lamb that went to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He did not return reviling for reviling. He did not return all of their hatred. He, in fact, went to the cross for the people who were lying about him. He went to the cross for the people who were beating him. He went to the cross for the people who put that crown of thorns on his head. We could look at the life of David. He did the same thing. The Bible is filled with people who behaved exactly like this. The Bible is filled with people like Paul who were trying to do good and then was imprisoned, eventually martyred for the gospel. Most of the disciples, 11 of the 12 disciples, were martyred, all for the sake of Jesus. John was the only one who wasn't by tradition. And David himself was rightfully king, was anointed king, and yet then was treated, was hunted down by the person who he was supposed to replace. But instead of returning evil for evil, instead of returning harm for the harm that was showed him, instead of taking Saul's life when he had the chance to do it more than once, instead of doing that, he did the exact opposite. He said, who
should raise his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. He didn't act the way our society, the way our culture would tell us to act. He acted along these lines, even though he was being treated wrongfully. He said, let God take care of it. He said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. God will take care of it. If God wants to take care of him in battle, let God take care of him. He actually said that. He actually said, if God wants to handle him, God will handle him. But for me, I will not touch him. And David was a man after God's own heart. Think of that. Think of that. There are times when the Bible tells us, well, actually it is all the time, we are supposed to be like Jesus, even if everything in our body is screaming, don't do it. Don't do it. You don't want to go down that road. Think of how you will be treated. Think of all the things that will go wrong for you. How are you ever going to advance? How are you ever going to get ahead? If you take this attitude. And the Bible says, commit that to God. Commit that to God. Don't worry about what the future holds for you. You be like Jesus and let God work out all the rest. The Bible also shares with us a verse in Philippians 3. It says, Paul actually says, I want to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. What a pair of statements. They are so opposite. The power of Christ's resurrection. Everyone wants to know that. Everyone wants to know that. The power that would raise a person from the dead. Everyone wants to know that. But who wants to know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ? But Paul understood this very principle. And part of the sufferings of Christ were behaving just like this. Part of the sufferings of Christ were behaving along these lines. If we go back earlier in this chapter, it says in verse 9, it says, you're a chosen generation, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And for those of you who still read the King James, that phrase is called a peculiar people. That's probably how many of you have learned that. There was a song about that as well. His own peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. A peculiar people. Oftentimes we think we are a peculiar people because of the way we dress or the things that we do. But in this case, if you behave like this, you will be a peculiar person. You will be different because of your character, your attitude, who you are on the inside, who you're showing to the world. You will be peculiar because the rest of society does not behave this way. And especially when they make a conscious choice. Some people might be, and we're not talking about the type of person who just doesn't want to stand up for themselves. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who makes a conscious choice. I could fight for myself, but I'm not going to. Because of my conscience towards God, I'm not going to. I'm going to follow as best as I can with God's help, with the Spirit inside me. I'm going to follow with all of my ability and Christ's help inside. I'm going to try and follow the Word of God. You do that, people will see there's a difference in you. You do that, people will wonder what drives this person. Not everybody will think it's the right thing. Not everybody will think it's even smart. But those who God is tugging, those who God is pulling, they will wonder why you behave
as you do. The covenant, it says in verse 23, it says in the last half of verse 23, it says, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. See, you might think it's not fair, and it probably isn't. It probably isn't fair. What you have to go through when your rights say I shouldn't have to do this, it might not be fair at all. The Bible never promises us a fair life. The Bible never promises us what is fair. Look at the life of Jesus. Was it fair that he lived a sinless life and that he should suffer? Was it fair? Was it fair that he should have to go through what he went through because of me, because of you, because of our sins, because of my sin, because of your sin? It's not always fair. But what he says is he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. That means there is fairness in the end. There is justice in the end. We might not see justice here in this world, but there is justice in the world that matters, in the eternal life, in the councils of eternity. There is fairness. There is justice, because God is not. Missing all the details. He's not missing what's going on in your heart. Do you remember the part of the Bible which actually God, it says that he understands the thoughts and intents of your heart? It's a little bit of a terrifying verse. He understands what's going on in the intents of our heart. No one's going to get away. No one's going to get away with anything. It will all be revealed. What is not forgiven? He judges righteously. He understands. He understands what you're going through. He understands what you're sacrificing. He understands. And all of that will be taken into account. All of that will be taken into account in eternity. It might not happen here. It might not happen here in this earth. But it will happen in eternity. We are a people that want immediate satisfaction, even as Denise had said today. We like that microwave thing. We like things fast. We like things to go quickly. And it seems to be more and more that way because things keep getting faster and faster. Things keep getting more and more efficient. We have to wait less and less time. I remember when I was growing up, computers were just coming into being, and they were kind of slow, even though they were considered fast for that time. But now looking back, it's almost ridiculous how slow they were. Maybe 100 times faster than what they were back then. And that's just the way life is. Now parallel computing, you do 100 times, 1,000 times more with certain types of computers than even the ones on your desktop. Just amazing, just so fast, just so quick, and that's the way we often want it. We want it now. We want it right now. We don't want to wait even 10 seconds. I'm guilty of the exact same thing. Sometimes there are times when I really actually, and this is not a joke, sometimes I actually think about the number of keystrokes that I have to type in, and I'll minimize the number of keystrokes. I don't want to type 5 letters if I could type 1. It's ridiculous how fast we want things. And that kind of attitude doesn't mesh always in with what the Bible says, things will be fair, but not necessarily in the time frame that you want. And that's where the committing things to God, committing ourselves to Him who judges righteously, comes in. But the question remains then, who is it that we're living for? Are we living for ourselves? Or are we living for God? Do we care about what others think? Do we care about what people think? Or do we care about what God thinks? Do we care about satisfying our own desires? Or do we care about pleasing God? Do we care that God thinks that we're honorable? Or do we care that man thinks we're strong? It is a choice that we all have to make. And it is a choice that we often have to make all the time. And we could even go and think how the world would be different if men would just follow this principle. The world would be incredibly different if when bad things happened, we did not respond in kind. There are biblical principles that if even just one or two of them were followed by the world in general, the whole world would be changed. This is one of those things. This is one of those principles. If we didn't respond the way our flesh wanted to, if we didn't respond in a way that's pleasing to us, if we didn't just take our natural instinct and follow it, if we actually lined it up with the Word of God, if our conscience was towards God, and all of these things, if we just endured and suffered wrongfully, as this says, the world would be a different place. And then the Bible says in verse 24, it says, He bore our sins, He who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes were healed. It's insinuating that as we do this, God gives us the ability to help others in those same conditions. Jesus took all of our sins and our griefs, it says, in another place. And this is where this verse comes from. He took all of those things on Himself, and then He gave out. He was able to help those. This is why by His stripes we are healed. He took all of those things in Himself. He took everything in Himself, and then He was able to give out to everyone around Him. Now, we're not going to be able to do the same thing that Jesus did, but as we take in, as we absorb, as we overcome all the things that are done to us, we are in a position to help others do the same thing. And that is a biblical principle. As we respond the way the Bible tells us to respond, we put ourselves in a place where we can help others do the same thing. By His stripes, we were healed. And by the things that we overcome, we could help others to overcome the same thing. The question is, who are we living for? Who do we care? Whose opinion do we care about more than anything else? Do we care about God's opinion? Do we care about our opinion? Do we care about the opinions of others? The Bible says that God is looking, that God is watching. He is looking out for how you respond and how you act and how you react. And do you actually commit things to Him? And if you do, you're considered honorable. You're considered commendable. You're considered praiseworthy in His sight. What an achievement to be considered honorable in the sight of God, but also at a price. But it is a price that will reward you in eternity. His name be praised. Amen.